good evening once again, everyone. This is SouthCar, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SouthCar organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SouthCar server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net controls this evening is actually KC2RMO from Syracuse, New York, and W4RFJ, the Chief, from Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm merely opening it up this evening. I live in the beautiful state of Florida. Port St. Lucie's the city. 88 degrees right now. High today was 93, and low tonight of 74. But a very, very beautiful day. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, and I always say that's a great thing. But how about anybody celebrating a birthday, either today, yesterday, this upcoming week, or maybe last week, that would like to come aboard so we can say happy, happy birthday? So do we have any of those birthday stations? Yes, no birthday stations tonight, guys. Well, this is the TIN open forum, or what we call is a Thursday informational net open forum. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. I will advise all stations connected that this net might be recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. All stations participating will be part of that recording. So everyone, I want to again welcome you to SouthCars, the TIN forum this evening. The subject is Ask an Elmer, and I'm going to turn it over to our Masters of Ceremony, Gary, KC2RMO. Maybe you can tell us something about your weather. But I'll be in the background, like I said. I'll be listening, probably not participating, but I know you'll have a great net. So with that, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, turning it over to you, Gary.
Oh, no.
All right. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. I'm going to try this once again. Maybe he was just away for a moment. And maybe Roger, yeah, you have a copy of the script. If he doesn't come aboard, maybe we can just get started. But let's see if maybe he was just away for just a moment. KC2RMO, Mr. Gary, Syracuse, New York. Are you there? We're waiting for you to begin. Ask an Elmer this evening.
Translate. Can you hear me now? it you know, the best laid plans of mice and men. And I guess I was on the mouse side. I don't know. I'm pressing my push to talk, but it's not push to talking. So I used the controls on the software. You know, you have to be resourceful. Hello there, Kathy. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, and thank you for being there. And hello, SouthCars. It's great to be back on Ask an Elmer tonight, where we have kind of a special net tonight. Muggy night here in Syracuse in central New York. Goodness gracious, it feels like something's going to happen. We're really feeling it. It's 78 degrees, but it feels a lot more sticky than that. Well, tonight's Ask an Elmer, we're having a salute to the general. Our focus tonight is to tell everybody about what it means to upgrade to a general class ticket. Now, believe me, you're going to be playing in a different league when you do that. There's so much to learn, and to me, all of it's fun. Antennas, propagation, band plans, equipment. There's a definite coolness factor to HF equipment. If you don't believe me, check out a Yaesu FTD-X1200 or an IC-7600 from ICOM. You'll see what I mean. Operating etiquette, you have a totally different way of operating on the HF bands. And finally, the folks that you'll be talking to, hams on the HF bands are a different breed than the folks that you might be talking to on your local repeater. And some of those folks have been around amateur radio for a long time. Not only that, but it's a thrill, at least to me, to contact an operator from another country. We call it DX, and that is my favorite thing to do in ham radio, whether it's by voice or one of the digital modes. Getting around the world on a 100-watt radio station feeding a 3-foot loop antenna is a genuine kick. So right now, let me introduce our co-host for tonight. That's Roger, W4RFJ. Hello there, Roger. Great to have you along on the TIN. Any thoughts or comments on becoming a general?
Well, I got to tell you, Gary, becoming a chief was hard enough, but getting into that general area, it's awesome. I can remember way back when I was trying to bypass the technician rut, and I went from novice directly to general, and it opens up a whole new world. Your communications definitely go from local being in town to local being within the United States. That's, I think, the best way I can sum it up, Gary. Good evening, everybody. This is Roger, W4RFJ. I'm in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. We've had rain and somewhat moderate temperatures today. Not as muggy as I think Gary's feeling, but Gary, I'll turn it back over to you. How's that?
Well, that sounds good, Roger. And we are remarkably muggy here. By the way, we're trying something experimental tonight, and I don't know if this is coming out as I go to break, but if all works well, you should be hearing a bit of history, which is the old Mutual Broadcasting System BDUP is a cue to break. I don't know if that's working on this setup or not, but not a lot is working on this setup right now, so what the heck. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case, too. But, we're troopers. We can do this sort of a thing. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the general class license, and then we'll take our first round of check-ins. The general class license is the second of the three amateur U.S. radio licenses. About 25% of the folks in the U.S. Hold a general ticket. Now, to upgrade to general class, you must already, of course, hold a technician class license, and you have to take the test, of course. And that's it's a little tougher. I'll be honest with you; it is tougher than that technician exam you took. But I'll tell you something: it's not that hard, and it's you can do it. Believe me, I did it. And a lot of other people have done it too, and I bet you could too. It's a lot of fun, actually. Studying for that, to me, is a lot of fun. So what's the difference between the two tickets? Well, Roger kind of told us a little bit about it. If you're a technician, you're only interested in talking around town. If you're a general, you're going to be talking around the world. Let's take some check-ins right now, shall we? Love to hear from you, so let's take the first round of check-ins as we do the TIN a salute to the general. Here on South Cars, I'm KC2RMO.
Sierra United November.
NS2B.
KG7UET.
Well, looks like we had three to get us going here, so let's get things started with Kathy. K6SUN, come on aboard.
Well, thank you so much, Gary. And you probably heard the story of me going from technician to general to extra. I was always told that I could not pass that test. I did not have the intelligence. I think you've heard this before. So I made a commitment to myself that I wanted to be an extra. I wanted to prove this person wrong. So it took me a little while to study for both the tests, but I passed the general. I think it was in 2010 and the extra in 2011. And I will say it's not hard. us here on South Cars, when we present our program, we have a great staff that comes up with some good explanations and some good questions. And by the way, everyone out there, you know, Gary hasn't said this, but our general course is beginning July the 5th right here on this server, and all that information is on the website. But I did want to get in there and say how easy I thought it was as a female, as a person who always thought that females should not be in this hobby. You know, it was an easy task for me, and it should be easy for just about anyone. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Gary, and like I said, I'll be in the background listening, but I did want to check in with you before you move on. So back to you, Gary, from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and yeah, you know, it's I would say this to anybody that is thinking about upgrading their license and maybe is getting a little bit of cold feet. You know, don't ever sell yourself short. You know, don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't do it, because you can do it. You know, it's just a matter of doing it. You know, and I didn't have the help of South Cars when I took my general. I sure had it when I took my extra, and South Cars definitely helped me to get that ticket, that's for sure. And if you're and I'll give you again, I was going to give that info out at the end of the net as far as when the outreach course starts, but we'll give that out again too. But you know, just so you can avail yourself of this, because you're really going to get a lot of help out of this thing. And honestly, if you never thought about doing it, this is the time to think about doing it. That's for sure. Kathy, thank you so much. Let's see, we've got S2B coming up next. So come on aboard, please.
Good evening, Gary and Annette. Bob here in Penfield, New York, over by Rochester. And boy, howdy, is it muggy. Just came in from mowing the yard because I had a hay field started, and I was afraid it's going to rain. At least they threatened to rain here. Who knows? Anyway, I agree. Yeah, upgrading opens up the world. A lot more things to do. For me, I started out as a no-code tech a long time ago when no-code techs first came about. And because I was interested in packet radio at the time, and I fell in with a bunch of guys who shamed me into learning CW, and I upgraded and never looked back. I still love packet, of course, but yeah, I'm glad I upgraded as well. Anyway, back to Net, NS2B.
Hey, thank you, Bob. And it takes me a little bit longer to get back into the Net after the break because I'm keying this manually. But I had a question for you, Bob, if you're still there. You know, do you remember what it felt like making your first HF QSO? Do you remember? Can you recall that?
Well, I have to be honest here. My very first HF contact scared me to death because it was CW, and I didn't feel that confident at it, but after I got past that, then I just, oh my goodness, I was up until way too late in the morning, chatting with anybody who would come back to me. It was pretty amazing. It was exhilarating. I have a bunch of friends who are non-hams, and they just have no appreciation for how good it felt. But that was the way it was for me in S2B.
Hey, thank you, Bob. Yeah, I remember very well my first contact, and I was the same thing. I had zero confidence. You know, I've been involved in radio. I mean, since I was maybe 13, 14 years old. I had studied for the exam back then, but I never, you know, it was the code that kind of held me back. I could never get up fast, and I wanted to take the general exam, and I could pass it technically, but I couldn't do the code. I was building up to the 20 words a minute that they wanted you to be at, so that you could take it. I think the requirement was 15 at that time, but they wanted you to be proficient at 20 so you could do it. And I could never get there, you know. It was always a little bit of a, you know, I'd be up around 12, you know, and I'd be okay with that. But I remember I had, my station was an IC-735, and I felt for sure that the first time I keyed that thing, everything was going to blow up. And I'm going, I'm like, what am I going to do with this? You know, but I called CQ. I think after about 10 minutes, I got a guy in Michigan, and I'm like, humma, you know. So it was great. It was absolutely great. And there's just such a feeling of accomplishment after you make that first HF QSO. You know, it's kind of like going to the major leagues if you're a baseball player. I that's the only way I can describe it. It's really very cool. Well, thank you, Bob. Hope you're going to check in a little bit later. We've got UET coming up next, and we'd love to hear from them on the TIN.
Good afternoon from Ridgefield, Washington. This is KG7UET, Dave. I've had my technician's license for about 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks now. I have joined the local amateur radio club. We have a group here that has a net on Wednesday nights called IWARN, which the intent is to work with the races group as a local way to communicate problems if we have an earthquake here. Washington is earthquake country. That's why we have such beautiful volcanoes and the Cascade Mountains and so on, because of the subduction zone. But I actually have been studying CW. There's a site, lcwo.com or .net or something like that, that has online lessons. And I've also been looking at some YouTube videos on the general test already, and I think I was kind of motivated last week when one of the guys that presented at the Clark County Area Radio Club talked about propagation and talked about different things and had a really very interesting presentation and talked about long distance communication. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Over.
Well, you know, you've given me a couple of things to tell you about, sir. Dave, that is, if you're into emergency communications, and it's funny that you had mentioned that, because we were going to talk a little bit about that in the next section. But I will tell you this. I'll go into it a little bit more depth. But I will tell you this, that your general ticket will help you a lot in your quest to get on top of emergency communications. Your general is an important tool to have in your bag of tricks. That is for sure. And you'll learn exactly why as you get into the coursework. You'll know more about that. So it's here you are with your local club, and that is a great resource too. And I would tell you this right now to anybody that's listening and thinking about getting that that general ticket, you know, your local club is a great resource to have, you know, right there. You've got your guys, you know, around you, and they're handy, you know. But so is the outreach course that you know, you can have right here for free on South Cars. So this is not a program-length commercial. Yeah, well, maybe it is for that. It's between the two of them. It will make that learning curve a lot less steep, and that is for sure. I'm not, you know, it's not the same as that tech test. Okay, tech test is pretty easy. I'll be honest with you. They've changed the pool, the question pool for general this year. As a matter of fact, if I'm correct, if I recall correctly, it changed on the 10th of the month of this month. So it just changed. Let me just buy a nickel for a minute. It just changed. So I think they dropped two of the old exam questions, and they probably reworded a bunch of stuff too. But it's all stuff. I think that you know you get into this hobby for a variety of reasons, and we all have you know our little path that we like to take. But I think the core, that foundation that we all rest on is that the stuff that's contained in those different elements of the exam. We you know we all root in the same manner. You had mentioned too about propagation, and I'd mentioned that a little bit earlier, and I don't know if a lot of folks that you know have their technician tickets really understand what propagation is. It is the way that your radio signal travels around the world, and it the frequencies that you use to go the greatest distances, and it's an art really to learn how to use propagation to get you a long way. It's remarkable how far you can go on a very modest station. If you know when to do it, so that's something you're definitely going to want to learn about, Dave. I'm going to throw this over to my co-host Roger here for any comments that he might have after listening to everybody. So, Roger, what do you think? What's going on here?
Sorry about that. I was in another window gathering some thoughts and some information, and. A couple of things. I was interested in Bob's comments about packet. I find that intriguing because I just got a Raspberry Pi working on packet. And let's see. Dave was talking about propagation, which I think you touched on pretty well, Gary. By the way, this is Roger W4RFJ in Ridley Park. And the CW thing, I just had to comment on it. You know, when I first got my ticket, it was a novice class license, and my first radio I ever operated on was an HF radio. Now, I don't know if Dave's interested in this, but, you know, if you're looking at getting your skills in the HF spectrum up to par, you can get on 10 meters. I've talked around the world on 10 meters, and it has its own quirks about it, but propagation's a big issue there. And my Elmer taught me a long, long time ago that if you're not constantly pursuing an upgrade, you're cutting yourself short. Okay, I think that's all I had for comment. I had everything laid out in my mind. I was just getting ready to write it down when you passed it over to me, Gary. So if I forgot something, it's my fault. I mean, your fault.
Well, that's the sort of snake I am. You know? Hey, Roger, thank you. You know, you brought back some great memories of when I was originally thinking about getting licensed. And I think I've told this story before, but hopefully, you know, some different people are listening, so I don't want to bore them with the same old story. But I had a little job at a drugstore after school when I was a ute, and I would go and work for a couple hours and you know filling up the bottles and stuff like that, you know refilling the bottle supply and all that stuff. The guy who ran the drugstore was a ham. He was a general class ham, and. He gave me my first AWRL manual. He got the new one, and he said, "You want the old one?" Because you know, I told him, I said, "Gee, that's really cool." You know, so I spent that summer reading that thing from cover to cover, and I decided I wanted to be a general class ham too. No novice for me, you know. But then again, you know, I set the goal too high with that code thing. So I was like, you know, I was just frustrating myself at that point. What I should have done, what would have been smart. but you know, whoever said I did anything smart would have been to take the exam for the novice and then build myself up to it. But I just wanted that general, you know. Let me buy a nickel for, and I want to pass along something about 10 meters too. Roger is so right. This is KC2RMO, by the way. Roger is so right about the about 10 meters. If you're holding a tech ticket and you want to get a taste of HF, 10 meters is a great place to get your feet wet. I'm going to give you a resource that is just a wonderful resource for learning things about the world outside of technician. All right, it is a website called hamuniverse.com. All right, hamuniverse.com. There is a very extensive section there about getting your feet wet on 10 meters. Okay, 10 meters is a gas. I will tell you that right now. 10 meters can also be very frustrating, you know, as Roger was saying. It can get quirky. That is something that you learn about when you're working with HF. You know, you don't have that reliable repeater sitting there that you can, you know, just hit the transmit button on that Baofeng, you know, and that baby's gonna go, and you're gonna be out 50 miles. Sometimes you don't even get off the block, it seems, and other times you went around the world. I'll tell you, and you talk about propagation. Last night I was fooling around with a digital mold called JT65, which allows you to go great distances on very little power. They have websites that you can track where your signal went. And I do that just to see how well I'm doing. Last night on 20 watts, I showed up, and this is no kidding. I showed up on every continent in the world, okay, with this little 3-foot loop antenna that I've got running 20 watts. That's propagation, okay, for those who want a concrete example of what propagation can do. That's propagation. It's very cool stuff, and this is stuff that you're going to learn about when you get the general ticket. Hey, let's do some more check-ins, shall we? I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars on the TIN, and we're looking for check-ins.
RFJ.
Well, we've got the chief. Anybody else want to come aboard?
Golf, Yankee, Foxtrot.
And Victor X-Ray Papa.
Well, there's a good group of folks to get this section going. So let's call it over to my co-host tonight, RFJ. Come on aboard there, sir.
Okay, Gary, this is W4RFJ, and I wanted to make a couple of quick comments on you cutting yourself off just before you. Well, you cut yourself off on that last transmission before when you were asking for check-ins. And I'd like to pass along top of the evening to Rick and to Doug. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to say, and to me, this is a big deal. And I want to make sure that I stress my admiration toward Dave out there in Washington. Congratulations on your ticket there, Dave. Really am glad to be able to count you amongst the family of hams. So there you go, Gary. Back over to you, W4RFJ.
Well, thank you, Roger, and thank you for letting me know about the cutoff. It seems that this thing is somewhat of a mind of its own, that this connection is demanding like a 2-count or a 3-count before I pull the trigger on anything. So I suspect it's my network, which has been a little bit strange lately. So, yes, also we'll give a tip of the South Cars hat to Dave, and congrats on that ticket. And I do hope you'll further the adventure, and I hope that this net kind of point you in that direction. We'll move it along, too, to GYF, and say hello, and come on aboard, sir.
Hi, Gary. Doug here, Fort Myers, Florida. And I'm on a 70-centimeter handheld on a Simplex Link here in Fort Myers. So, Echolink and walkie-talkie at the same time, and that's my style. And that keeps my interest going. Now, I am reminded way back when, almost as far back as my memory will go, almost 30 years ago, I passed my general, and I was so darn proud. I got to two iron-on gold stars and ironed them on the collar of my amateur radio club khaki shirt so I could proudly wear my general stars at the amateur radio club meetings. KA0GYF. Still a general after all these years. And I swear by 10 meters. And homemade dipoles, KU0DYF. Thank you.
Doug, I love it. The two stars. That's classic. That is beautiful. That really is. And yes, 10 meters is a guess, and I swear by homemade dipoles, too. I do admit I cheat with that loop, but if I didn't have it, I would have a homemade dipole. I've certainly fooled around with enough of them, that's for sure. But that's great stuff. I'll tell you, I studied my tech and my general with a buddy of mine, and that he is KC2RMN. We both decided we were that we were going to do it, you know, make the plunge and get the tech license. We both studied. We worked at I worked for a telecommunications company. We were both CSRs, and we had an instant messenger, you know, so we would in between calls, IM each other exam questions. So we did the same thing, you know. We studied for the tech. We studied for the general that way. The company that we were working for went bankrupt. So shows you, you know, the way things usually work for us. But so we couldn't do the studying at work together anymore, obviously. But he became an extra, and I became an extra independently. But with the help of the good folks here. At South Cars. But Doug, great to hear from you as always, and I hope you'll stick around for more of this. We go to Ohio now, and my buddy Rick, VXP, come on.
This is N1VXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. Very muggy, severe thunderstorm watch, in effect until 11 p.m. We had one little thunderstorm come through, and I thought, uh-oh, I may not get into the net, but... Luckily, somebody thought of me and said, we'll let this storm go through and everything is quieted down for now, but who knows? Still in for a rough evening. I got to say, this year is my 20th anniversary for my amateur radio license. In fact, I'm sitting here looking at the renewal form. In which I got to go ahead and send in and definitely get that going. So I unfortunately got my ticket to Code No Tech basically because I had a mentor that said, well, you can use a handheld, in which I did. I got very proficient with 2 meters and with propagation. Everybody kept saying, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, I found ways. I was living in a city, had high-rise buildings, and I found great, great ways of bouncing signals off the buildings. And I was talking all over New England, and I found that it was quite a bit of fun. And... definitely proved to a lot of guys. I said, well, I can do it. and they just sat back and said, wow. Talk from Connecticut up to Massachusetts, back down to New York. Let me drop it. You know, I would hit repeaters all over northern Massachusetts, up towards Boston. And I found that propagation, well, anytime we had a possible tropical storm hitting along the coast up towards New England, 2 meters was wide open. I mean, it was all over the place. I would end up going onto a repeater, and I had permission to knock off the PL tone on it, because I knew certain frequencies were quite active. If you didn't have a PL tone on them, there were other stations all over the area coming in, other repeaters, so I learned that little trick. One night I ended up causing the biggest pileup that guys could not believe. Ended up on 2 meters, ended up on the local repeater. They, at that time, they didn't have the PL tone on it, and I put out a call, and I got an aeronautical mobile 20,000 feet over Baltimore, Maryland, and I could talk to them, but other guys running more power in different areas could not make it. I said, well, I guess it's location, location, location. But I've, over the years, I've never lived in an area where I could set up an antenna. Always a restricted area as far as size, and still am, which makes it rough. But I'm thinking about maybe just go ahead and upgrading and going from there. And once you XP back to next.
Well, Rick, first of all, talking to an aircraft is amazing. I think that's great. You know, I had a similar issue with antennas going back about 6 years now, where I used to live. We rented a flat, and there was no real room for, you know, putting up an antenna there. And I did a lot of research, and I mean a lot of research, and I came up with this MFJ-1788 loop, which does 40 through 15, and it does it very well, actually. It's pricey. It really costs a lot of money, but as I did a little more research, there are a lot of plans out there. If you do a Google search on a magnetic loop antenna, you can build your own, and you know, a lot of them are for QRP, but there are some designs out there that'll let you run 100 watts into them, and you know, it's a 3 foot, so it's the size of a hula hoop put on its side, and they really do work. You have to tune them when you change frequency. You have to retune a lot, but once you get that down, it's not bad. So I would say don't let an antenna stand in the way of you upgrading, because it can be done, and there are other designs out there, too, that are equally as compact. So, you know, there's hope for those who are space-challenged. Let me buy a nickel here. I'm KC2, RMO, and this is South Cars as we continue the TIN. Tonight, a salute to the General. We're talking about upgrading to the General ticket, pretty much for the benefit of the folks holding a technician license, or maybe for those people who just might be listening that don't hold any license. You know, if you want to take that plunge and you think maybe you can bypass the tech, why not go for it? Been a little bit since we've heard from my co-host Roger, so let's call in Roger right now and see if he has anything to say at this particular point in time. Roger, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I did it again. I was on another window. I was going through the list that you had sent me of the things we're going to be covering. And it's interesting, you know, not only do you get to do a lot of different things, you know, you've got all the different modes. I know we've talked about CW, and we've talked about using the 10-meter spectrum to communicate worldwide, utilizing propagation. There's those of us, and I think NS2B being a packeteer, like the digital aspect, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the general area of the band. I don't know. Gary, you think we're at that point where we can talk about, you know, what bands get opened up to us? I know, you know, we're about 3/4 of the way through this. I think I might have to leave sometime between 8 and 8:30. I've got to get up super early in the morning. So I didn't know if it would be appropriate to get into that area. But anyway, I'll pass it back over to you, Gary. This is W4RFJ, Ridley Park.
Hey there, Roger. Yeah, you know, let me just, what we'll do, let's just skip ahead a little bit, and we'll talk about the privileges and the bands that are out there. I did want to touch a little bit on the, you know, we were talking digital. I love working digital, and if you don't know what that is, let me just give you a real brief overview of what that is. There is a way to transmit text over the radio in a digital format. There are many modes that do this. Digital communications is extremely efficient. I was talking about JT65 and literally how I showed up on every continent but running 20 watts. There are others as well. There's probably the most popular digital mode out there is a thing called PSK31, which is a very efficient way. It's about the only way I can describe it is that it's kind of like an instant messenger via ham radio. Also, you have radio teletype, RTTY, Olivia, which is I love Olivia. That is a wonderful, what they call weak signal mode. You can go a long way on a very little amount of wattage, and it's extremely free of errors. You get the message clearly through. It's a lot of fun. And really, you know, it's there's, and I'm probably leaving out a couple others, but those are the ones that come, you know, right off the top of my head. So there's that whole digital aspect that that is out there that is just a lot of fun. Let me buy a nickel. So we have that digital aspect, but I guess the main thing is that I think the way you could put this, you know, into perspective, you get your general ticket. The world is your oyster, okay? You get to go everywhere, okay? And Roger, I don't know. Let me just throw it out to you. Did you want to do some of the? You want to split the list, or would you like to have me do it, or would you like to do all of it? How do you want to play this, sir?
Oh, you're the captain. You're driving the ship. I just wanted to poke some holes, and you know, I'm going to sit back here on a fantail with my fishing line over the side. I did want to share a copy of an ARRL provided band chart. I printed mine, and I put a copy of the URL in the text box, so if anybody wants to go there, it's a free download. And you can get a good idea of what capabilities you have depending on your class license and the bands, and you can see what frequencies open up for you. But Gary, go ahead and pick it up. I'm handling these nibbles I'm getting on the line back here on the fantail. KC2RMO, W4RFJ with the South Cars TIN.
KCFQV would like to check in to the South Cars Thursday net, KCFQV.
Okay, okay, station calling, come on aboard.
All right. Yeah, KCFQV would like to come in, and I was listening to the net till the battery went on the phone. So I'm back. And I know the topic tonight about training for, get an amateur license or upgrade. And I did hear one thing, and I can't recall what the website was. It was the videos you were talking about, and you gave a URL. Oh, I sort of know it in the back of my head, but I can't recall what it was called. Ham Radio University. Is that correct, KCFQV?
Close. That's close. It's Ham Universe, hamuniverse.com. A very good source of information for folks that are upgrading. It's a wonderful resource for people making that transition between technician and general. It doesn't even matter what class you hold. There's a ton of great information on that site, but it's particularly useful for folks that are moving on up. Hamuniverse.com. So I hope that helps you. Come on aboard.
Well, I'm using the droid. I got the other phone going. So at Ham Universe, if someone would be able to put that in the text, I would be able to fight then. KCFQV, back to net. Name here is Martin, Northeast Ohio. Yeah, we were having some storms coming through, too.
Hello there, Martin, and thanks for being with us tonight. Yeah, we've got some stuff heading our way too. We're in the Central Park of New York State, and I think we've got the same items on the menu that you have. But it's hamuniverse.com. Hamuniverse.com. We're talking about upgrading to the general license and why you should do it and what's in store for you if you do. Well, if you haven't done so already, you're probably thinking about upgrading, or certainly hope you are at this point. You have many more frequencies to use on the HF bands. Now, here's a rundown of what's available to you and what privileges you might have, okay, if you hold the general ticket. On 160, 60, and 30 meters, you have all amateur privileges available to you. On 80 meters, you have code, radio teletype, and data privileges, and, of course, phone. And image, too. You can send images as well. 40 meters, you have code, RTTY, data, and phone, and image. On 20 meters, you have code, RTTY, teletype, data, and phone and image and code on all of these too. If I didn't mention that earlier, 15 meters, you have code, you have radio teletype, you have data, you have phone and image, and on 17, 12, and 10 meters, you have all amateur privileges, and above 50 megahertz, you have all amateur privileges, and of course you have 2 meters and 70 centimeters and 440. You have all those available to you as well. But this is a incredibly vast universe that you are looking at when it's available to you when you make that change from technician to general. And there's just a ton of stuff that you can get involved in that's incredible fun to play around with. I wanted to pass along too. Let me just buy a nickel here. I know Roger is gonna hit the hay pretty soon. I wanted to get any last comments out of him if we could before I go on a little bit further with this. So Roger, are you there? And anything to throw into the mix right now?
Well, Gary. I didn't mean to make you think I was going to bow out. I just, anyway, I did put a link. I don't know if anybody can see it. I'll repaste it if I need to for the nice color band plan chart that the AWRL put out. I think ICOM's got a nice one too. I just haven't found that yet. But it really does give you a good picture of what your privileges can give you. Going from technician to general is the big jump, and trust me, it opens the world with the spectrum that you're allowed to use. And of course, you get to talk to great people like myself and Gary. So anyway, that's about it, Gary. I'll be in here. If I fall asleep, just give me a couple minutes, or just, you know, rattle my cage. I just wanted to make you aware of that. My hours have been pretty early in the morning. I'm up at about 4, and it drags you down over a week. Anyway, this is W4RFJ with the Thursday Information Net, South Cars. Turn it back to our illustrious net control, KC2RMO.
Hey, thank you, sir. Boy, a schedule like that will do that to you. That's for sure. You know, I have my copy of that ARRL band plan right here in front of me. That never goes anywhere other than at this operating station right here, at this operating station, I guess that would be about the best way to put it. Operating position, that's what I was trying to say, right here. This is kind of like you refer to this constantly when you work HF, and go to the AWRL site. Pardon me, I'm losing my voice. Or you can just Google AWRL band plan, and they'll take you to a site. It's very good. The ICOM one is very good too. You can get that on the ICOM America website, and Yaesu I think has one as well. I got a bunch of stuff with my when I got the FTDX. Did not hang it up yet because we're in the process of remodeling the ham shack. So when that gets all done and the walls get painted and all that good stuff happens, I'm going to be putting up the goodies on the wall. But right now we're kind of bare bones. I'm KC2RMO. This is the Thursday Informational Network, and we're talking about a salute to the general, upgrading to the general class ticket. If you get yourself a hold of one of those band plans, Roger was right. You can. It's very easy to visualize what you've got available to you. It's worth doing a little Googling and checking stuff out. Let me buy a nickel for just a moment. And let's take a look. I was going to talk about this a while ago. We were talking about a few things. We had we'd mentioned emergency communications. We talked about some of the other important things that that general class ticket will do for you. Well, the general license provides a significant expansion of frequency privileges compared to the technician license. As a general licensee, you'll be able to operate on every amateur radio band, including all the HF bands, it allows worldwide communication through Morse code, voice operation, slow scan TV, RTTY, and a variety of digital modes. Now, we kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. If you're interested in emergency communications, you should have a general class license. Now, while most emergency communications is local, it's not always the case. For example, during Katrina, local communication within the affected area was often impossible, and some emergency crews communicated with each other by relaying messages out of the area using HF ham frequencies. In an actual emergency, you're allowed to use any means of communications at your disposal to get the message through, of course. You don't need a license at all in that particular situation. However, to be prepared for an emergency, you need to practice. And for that, you do need a license. HF communication can be challenging. It takes time to develop the required skills. If you're like most hams, you're interested in talking all around the world on, quotes, shortwave radio, you also need the general class license. And if you live on a boat, and I suppose, you know, there's some folks out there that do, you want to stay connected using ham single SSB, sideband radio, SSB, you need the general class ticket. Let me just buy another nickel, and I want to tell you something about that. This is KC2RMO, this is South Cars, and this is the TIN. Now, I don't live on a boat. I wish I did. It'd be pretty cool. But I got interested in a type of transmission that you can do on HF a while ago, and I thought it was very cool stuff, so I thought I'd give it a try. And that is sending email via HF. Yeah, you can. You can send an actual email over your radio, and you know it shows up in your inbox, and it's just like any other email. Apparently, folks that are in the Marine Services, whether the Merchant Marine or whatever, I suppose. I don't know. They might even do this in the Navy. I really don't know. But mariners do use this fairly regularly, and it really does work. So I set myself up with an account, and it's very cool. I will send myself. I don't know too many people that to send it to, but I'll send myself. Or I've got a buddy in Pennsylvania that's also a ham, so I'll send him a radio email every now and then just to keep the account live. But it's a lot of fun, and again, from an emergency standpoint, you know, if you have no internet, if you have no infrastructure, but you need to access an email. This will do the trick, you know. It's very easy to set up, and it really is very very effective. Kathy just IM'd me too, and we were talking about those band plan charts. There is one available to you on the VoIP.SouthCars.com website. Go to the outreach section, look in the technician area, and you'll see one there. I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars. We're talking about an upgrade to the general class license. What do you say we take a little bit of time and do some check-ins right now? Let's hear from you, okay? We're doing check-ins right now. Come on aboard.
RFJ.
S2B.
S2B, I think you were there, and I think Roger was trying to get in too. So let's see if RFJ wants to come in, and then we'll go to S2B. Roger, come on aboard.
Okay, Gary, thank you. I kept forgetting to say something, too. You were talking about emergency communications and using HF, was also thinking about Bob with the packet. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but I was just appointed the emergency coordinator for Philadelphia County up here in Pennsylvania. And I actually received my official letter just a couple of days ago. Anyway, long story short story longer, WinLink is linked up into that emergency communication thing, and also the NTS, or National Traffic System, which is also utilized for amateur radio emergency service. So those are some areas you might want to think about learning. But, you know, you got to have that general ticket in order to be able to use it on HF. But there's no reason why you can't start learning it now as a technician and start playing with it using packet. And I think that was all I had. Oh, yeah, and I also have a boat, and I extensively use HF with the digital modes, too, on it. So back over to you, Gary. Thanks for letting me jump in real quick. W4RFJ.
Well, thank you, sir. And first of all, congratulations on that. I did not know that, and give you a round of applause on that. I don't know if that picked up because I'm on the headset, but there was a round of applause for you there. I'm looking at your message in the box there too, that you use the HF on that too. So with it's invaluable. It is just, it is, if you're going to do anything is serious, not that 2 meters isn't serious. I mean, I don't mean to downplay 2 meters, but if you want to take that next step, if you want to expand, this is the way to do it. And the way you're going to do that is on HF. It is a big step, but it's an important step. I'll tell you what it was too. When I went from technician to general, You know, I was like Doug. You know, I was going to put the stars on the on my collar. You know, I was very, very proud of that. I stayed a general for a couple years, but I wanted. It was such a good feeling to make that accomplishment of going from technician to general. I said, you know what? Let's take it all the way, and let's see. You know, let's see how well we can do with that extra. And very, very glad I did that. It was a very rewarding thing, but it's a lot easier to go from technician to general and then general to extra than it is to go from technician to extra. You know, the beauty of the general class ticket is that you get, you know, most of what you get on the extra. You know, the nice thing about being an extra is that you don't have to worry about, am I in the wrong part of the band? Let me buy a nickel. But it's that feeling of accomplishment too that you've taken it to that level, and it's a little pat yourself on the back things too. It's pretty cool. But it all starts with that general ticket. Now, I was talking a little bit earlier about hamuniverse.com, and I think, wait a minute, did we leave somebody out here? Did we? Yeah, I think we did. S2B, did we leave you out? If we did, I apologize profusely. S2B, come on aboard.
Oh, that's okay, Gary. I was taking a nap anyway. Well, anyway, I just wanted to talk about my packet station for a couple of seconds. I run a dual port packet station here. One port on VHF, one port on HF. Right now the VHF port is linked down through the East Coast network down to a chat server down in Florida, so I'm sitting there chatting with a fellow that's in the Bay of Bengal on a tanker, you know, and he gets in through a satellite link somewhere. And then my HF port is just copying the mail on 20 meters and I see WB4QOJ in Atlanta on there right now, so that, you know, it's just fun to do. It's just a visual display of what's happening to you in the world. I also wanted to mention that if you get into 10 meters and you get into boat anchors, that's another disease, boat anchors. I run a 1011, a Siltronics 1011B on 10 meters whenever I get the hankering to warm up some tubes. So there's that disease that will afflict you as well when you upgrade. So anyway, that's it for me in S2B.
that is a serious affliction. if folks listening don't know the term boat anchors, those are the classic ham radio transceivers, the old school equipment, the tube type equipment, the ones that you had to dip the finals on to get things tuned up. It's awesome stuff. It really is. And you know, we live in a day and age, and again, I'm just citing this FTDX that I've got in front of me. I have a radio here that has 200 menu items on it. All these incredible parameters that you can adjust. This thing will, when you know how to set it up, it'll give you near broadcast quality audio, sound like an AM station on SSB. It is a remarkable piece of technology, and there's other radios out there that are more advanced than this, but you know something, nothing compares to the feel of running one of those old rigs. I cannot describe it. You have to put your hands on it. You have to make a QSO with it, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's the way the folks that have been in this a long time started, and it's a great experience for anybody. Let me just buy a nickel. I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars, and we're on the TIN, the Thursday Information Network. Boat anchors are a very cool thing, and I would say, you know, again, you get to play with them if you get that general ticket. But the problem with old rigs and old cars, you know, they're addictive, and they can cost a lot of money. So, you know, be prepared, but if you're going to go that route. But there's certainly a lot of modern rigs out there that that are not that expensive. And you know, really, this is a good point to be talking about. You know, you can get on 2 meters for $39 with a Baofeng, you know. I mean, and it's going to work, you know. HF does not have to be that expensive. You know, Doug was talking about homemade wire dipoles. That's cheap, you know. You can, even if you do a single bin, you know. And what I would say is, you know, spend a little time, you know, when you get your general ticket, spend a little time listening. And if you have a receiver right now, spend a little time listening to the different bands and see which one you like, okay? And see what kind of, so, you know, I want to talk to those guys, you know. I want to be part of that. When you get your station on the air, you know, you can make a simple dipole antenna for one band. You know, if that's what you've got the funds for, make it for one band, and enjoy it. You know, and as you are able to, you can expand that. But rigs do not have to cost $5,000. You know, you can always buy a used rig, and you can get some pretty good ones. You know, for the $500 price range, right around there. If you're a member of a local club, you know, usually a lot of the guys there will sell you an old rig for cheaper than that, and they're not going to give you a piece of junk. You know, they'll give you something that'll work. So you can get into this a lot cheaper than you think too. You have to shop around a little bit, and you have to do a little bit of effort in maybe constructing an antenna and what have you. But it doesn't have to break the bank to get into HF. We're talking about the general class ticket. We're talking about the advantages of getting that upgrade if you're a technician. Let me buy a nickel, and I want to read you something from hamuniverse.com, the site that I was talking about a little bit earlier. I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars, and we're on the Thursday Information Network, talking about upgrading to the general class ticket. This is from hamuniverse.com, and it's a little piece that's entitled Exciting Times Ahead and What to Expect. And for me, this guy really kind of hit the nail right on the head when he was talking about this. For me, and I'm quoting from him right now, for me, earning the privilege of HF operating was, well, beyond words to describe. But here are two or three that will help you. Normal and DX operating on HF is very different from the 2, 6, 440 bands and higher. You won't be using repeaters on HF, like on 2 meters and other bands that you're accustomed to if you're a technician. General class hams have this privilege on the upper end of 10. We've talked about the privileges that you have. You'll strictly be in direct contact with the station on the other end, much like simplex on 2 meters. Your contact may be on the other side of town where you live, or on the other side of the world, or in between using HF frequencies. Depending upon the time of day, propagation, the band you've selected, the mode you're using, and many other variables, your contacts may be loud and clear or almost down in the noise. You'll have to accept major interference from Mother Nature's lightning crashes, solar storms, power line, and other man-made device noises, and sometimes just too many stations near your frequency. The HF bands can be very crowded, especially during contests and DXing. You have to face it worldwide. There are several million amateur radio operators using the same bands and modes, and probably the same frequencies that you want to use too. Let's buy a nickel. But that's just the nature of propagation, antennas, and differences in power levels and all other
variables. HF ham radio operating can be a challenging adventure at times when all those variables are working against you, so don't expect crystal clear FM quality as if you're operating on your repeater. It's kind of like going fishing. Sometimes you have a great catch with strong signals, and other times it's not even a nibble. But don't give up. You're gonna make contacts. That's I think the part of the excitement of the whole thing. It is like fishing. You know, you just don't know. You're calling CQ. You don't know who's gonna come back. You don't know if anybody is gonna come back. But you're gonna give it a shot, and sometimes it'll absolutely amaze you. It really will. So you know that's the mystique of it, I guess you could call it. So what do you say? Let me go to Roger one more time, and then we'll go and take some more check-ins. So Roger, what do you think about that? What do you have?
Well, I can't argue with you, Gary. You plead a strong argument. I think I'm going to go get involved with that course on the 5th of July and get my general ticket. Now, wait a minute. I have my extra. Do I have to go back to get... No, anyway. Yeah, I'm motivated. Back over to you, Gary, W4RFJ.
We have a special, we have a very special retro ticket class for extras that want to revert back to general. It's a one-time only shot, you know. But we are going to host that. So stand by for news on that. We're talking about upgrading to the general. I wonder if anybody out there would like to check in right now. MKC2RMO. This is South Cars, and we'd like to hear from you. Nobody right now. Okay, that's fine. We've been talking about all this leading up to that general ticket for you. That sounds good. If this sounds good to you, South Cars is here to make it a little better, okay? Join us for the general class outreach. You know, South Cars have helped a lot of people get their license through these classes, and I'll tell you right now, they definitely helped me get my extra. So why not give it a try? You know, why not give it a try? It's not going to cost you anything but your time and effort. Now, the general class starts, write this down, July 5, 2015. July 5, 2015, and I was talking about how the pool questions have changed. They have not changed yet. Okay, they will change on the 1st of July. All classes fall on a Sunday and Tuesday evening starting at 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. So watch for that first class on 7-5. I don't know exactly how many it's going to be. I want to say it's 6 sessions, but I could be wrong on that, so don't quote me on that. If you want to get some more information, any late breaking news, go to the breaking news section of the South Cars website, and we will update you on that. So anybody else want to go for maybe a final round of check-ins? We'll take them right now. I'm KC2RMO. This is the TIN, and this is South. Well, it kind of looks like we've gone through the whole deal, as they say. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody for participating. Before we go, just want to say if Roger has any final comments, we'll call on him for one more time, and then. We'll start saying goodnight. So, Roger, any final thoughts before we put this?
Well, no final thoughts other than I personally want to thank everybody that joined us here tonight. And, Gary, wonderful job. Appreciate you you navigating the ship. And certainly hope to talk to everybody again soon. Bob's got me intrigued with this chat server he's on. I've been trying to figure out how to get to it. I've got an idea. I already tried to connect to the BBS. But anyway, that's another story. Gary, wonderful job, and I'll be in here for about another 10 more minutes, and wish you the best up there. Hope everything cools off and the moisture goes away. KC2RMO, this is W4RFJ.
Roger, thank you for the kind words, and thank you for all your help tonight. It's been great working with you, as it always is. Just a pleasure and a privilege. So, what do you think? If you're even entertaining the thought of becoming a general, we sure would love to have you. And I can tell you right now, it's going to feel good when you do get those tickets and you end up like Doug and sticking those stars on your collar. It'll be great. But I thank everybody again for their participation and had a good time tonight. It's really been good. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPnet schedules and general information may be found on the VoIP.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been Gary, KC2RMO, along with Roger, W4RFJ, saying 73 and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.